Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the weekend music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
This week on the show, we're getting the party started with Andrew WK. His first album in like 8 or 9 years is here. It's called You're Not Alone. We will dissect every party moment, every motivational speech contained within, and come out the outside better than we've ever been before. That's a promise to you, Mark. And then after that, we'll talk about the latest charting single on the Billboard Hot 100. We're going with the Black Panther lead-off single, All the Stars, by Kendrick Lamar and SZA. Certainly, that movie has been sweeping the nation. It's made $1 billion-plus at the global box office. Black Panther, Mark, it's a phenomenon.
Yeah, he's got a cool outfit.
He does have a cool outfit.
I like his outfit. Yeah, I always thought the Black Panther outfit in the comics was like cool, but I was like, I wish someone would make this a little more like modern, a little more Iron Man-y, like give it a little bit more going on. I think the one they did in the movie looks great.
Yeah, I love how everyone's just like walking around with their hands in front of their chest doing the wah thing, you know?
No, I don't know that.
The Black Panther thing? Didn't you see that at the Oscars where everyone was just going like, wow.
I didn't watch the
Oscars.
Suddenly
they're Black Panther. You don't watch the Oscars?
Nope.
What are you doing with your life?
I had stuff I had to get done, my man. I mean, not all of us are you know, sitting at home all day eating bonbons. Some of us are working for a living.
Man, I don't understand why the Oscars are a national holiday in this country.
People don't realize that Charlie actually had a very rich uncle who passed away and gave him all of his millions of dollars, but he has to spend it in the next few years or else he has to give it all away.
And he said on his deathbed, what I want you to do, I never want you to miss the Oscars. Yeah. The most important thing on the calendar.
Yeah. Your uncle's very specific kind of weird.
He loved movies, and more specifically, he loved Hollywood producers and filmmakers just going nuts for each other.
Yeah. Hollywood's biggest night. The stars are out and shining tonight.
He loved the stars. He loved the shining stars of Hollywood. But you know who's the brightest shining star of all the people, Mark?
Earth, Wind, and Fire's lead singer.
Yes. You got it. And right after him is Andrew WK, the party master general. He's been on the scene for, 2 decades now, bursting forward with his first album, I Get Wet, featuring such classic jams as Party Hard, It's Time to Party, Party Till You Puke, Get Ready to Die, lots of great singles off that thing. An effusive, exuberant personality, he has returned with You're Not Alone, an album which is simultaneously a operatic rock album and also a motivational, uplifting message. He is pulling double duty these days as both a rock star and a motivational speaker, so it's clear to see that one career has really influenced the other, because You're Not Alone features not one, not two, but 3 separate vocal tracks with just Andrew WK giving you motivational pep talks about Satan and about partying and about enjoying the ups and downs and the roller coaster of life. And all along the way, he's got an operatic front that is boosting his energy and delivering it straight to the intravenous fluid inside of every other listener in the world. Mark, you're not alone.
Charlie, we're here together.
What did you think of Andrew WK's latest album?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I like Andrew WK so much as a musician.
Yes.
And as a motivational speaker, I am less interested. And so whenever those two things merge and one starts to overshadow the other, I am feeling a little bit less like I'm at the party with all my friends and more like I threw a party and Andrew WK won't leave. And I'm asking him to in polite ways and he's still just staring at me with his big eyes.
Yeah. He's got very big eyes.
Yes. A very intense stare.
I have to have like a feeling, even if you threw a party and Andrew WK showed up, he would certainly be the center of attention. He's got that gravitas.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes stars fade for a reason. Sometimes you just want to go to sleep now. It's 3 in the morning. Everyone's tuckered out. And Andrew W.K. still, I haven't told you about this story.
You know. So you're saying you're not feeling the party on this album?
Oh, I'm feeling the party just fine. But I just don't, I don't know. Some of the motivational stuff on this album I think is really nice. I think the first interlude where he talks about, you know, sometimes if you feel really badly, that's okay because that just means you're alive. I thought that was a very nice sentiment. But other times I just kind of feel like it's a little wrong-headed or just a little too simple a motivational speaker for me, if I can critique him as a motivational speaker.
But you're also a cynical person that's hardened yourself against the positive nature of humanity.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll come out the other end on this because there's that one track. What's it called? Whenever he's talking about how... Oh, Total Freedom. Whenever the whole track is him talking about back in the day, the world was perfect and we didn't have to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, the world's pretty good now. We just got to, you know, put a little bit more effort into making it gooder instead of sitting here trying to think about how it was good before.
Right.
So, you know, that's my party. That's my party party.
Let's get a few of his words here. This is from The Feeling of Being Alive.
If you ever feel like something is very, very wrong, wrong with life, wrong with yourself, I understand. I have that feeling too. But in actuality, that feeling isn't wrong. That feeling is just being human. That intense feeling inside is the feeling of existing, of being alive, of being a person. It's a mountain to climb. It's a test to pass. It's a challenge we are ultimately worthy of.
Some pretty powerful words there. I agree with you. I think that first one's probably the best of the three.
Yeah, for sure.
I gotta feel like his concerts are a pretty spiritual experience where everyone's partying, having a good time, and then in the interludes will just stop and tell you to, like, how to be positive about yourself, and it's all going to be okay in the end.
Yeah, I watched a clip of him getting booed off the stage at the Juggalo Festival.
Oh, no.
And you know what was funny about it is that some of those people left with respect that he still played his show until they dragged him off. So I do feel like it would be a very uplifting and intense experience, even in the worst circumstances.
And if there's anyone that needs these messages, it's certainly the Juggalos.
Yes. Well, there's only so far Faygo will get you in life.
Right. So I got to say, Mark, I'm kind of feeling similar about this album as you are. Man, do I love that first album. I love how insane it is, how every energy level is cranked to 11. It is nonstop the whole way through. Every track brings something new to the table, including I Love New York City. Oh, yeah, New York City. This one is certainly less energetic. It's more operatic. There are a lot more slower tracks on this thing. And so initially I was kind of turned off by that, expecting another high-energy, octane, nitrous insanity fest here. Right. And this is definitely not that. But I do think the up-tempo moments are where it is most successful. I think there are some good hooks still contained inside of this thing, and overall, I'm getting similar feelings to, like, Logic when he dropped that single from last year. You know, it's ultimately good intentioned. He means positivity from releasing this album. So I think there's a lot to be celebrated in that. And I can really appreciate what he's doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a party I want to hang out for a long time. But it was, you know, one that's like, all right, this was an okay way to spend a Friday night. Better than sitting at home doing nothing, right?
Sure, yeah. And, like, there's definitely some tracks on here that pretty directly recall the old Superfun stuff. I think Music Is Worth Living For is pretty much Andrew W.K. personified, but with that added layer of this album. As I think what he's added to his sound, forgetting all of the positivity and like, I'm going to motivate you music, part of what he's added is just a sense of, like, 80s nostalgia. There's a lot of, like, I feel like I'm listening to 80s power ballads this whole time in a way that, like, none of his music recalled to me before.
Right.
So it's interesting to see him evolve in that way. And sometimes it works really well, but there's only so many times you can listen to Don't Stop Believin' before you want to go to a different song, you know?
I hear you, yeah. He's channeling Meatloaf really hard in this album.
Yes. Yes.
You feel that?
Definitely.
Let's play a little bit from Music Is Worth Living For. Yeah, pretty standard. It does feel a bit more restrained, and I think it's maybe because the tempo is a bit slower than some of his other singles from previous albums.
Right.
But that is, I mean, the emotion inside of that, the energy, the orchestration behind it is all quintessential Andrew WK.
Yeah, and I think that it's that earnestness that's so important to his character, it's maybe lacking that, like, it's lacking the party, I think, is what's happening. Because when you listen to, like, I Get Wet, almost every track on that thing, you might be having a good time, but, like, it's really, like, driven home that he's, like, the guy who's chugging, like, he's going to literally chug the whole case of beer. He's going to chug the whole
party till you puke.
Exactly. That, like, that is no longer this Andrew WK. This Andrew WK is just more like a dinner party at WK where everyone is like a little drunk.
Right. And I think he's like channeled his party energies into something that is more spiritual.
Yes.
And less about like the physical partying than it is about the mental partying. And so the tracks on here reflect that more meditative, reflective state. He ends that first spoken word interlude by saying, this mindset is what partying is all about. As if to say, like, it's a religious experience for him. And he is the next preacher from the Church of Party.
Well, we'll maybe get into this a little bit later, but that is actually what he believes. Like, the idea that the party is a religious, spiritual mindset, like, what you're picking up on, you're actually literally right. That's what he... That is how he lives. That's what he believes.
Well, I don't think it's subtle on the album. I think it's pretty easy to see that here.
Still jarring whenever an adult human being, totally without any irony whatsoever, deadlocks the camera and just goes, partying is the way to live. It's what teaches you to strive and move forward.
And now it's a political system, too. So is it technically like an oligarchy?
Oh, man. I don't even know if I want to understand what the party is all about.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's terrifying to me. Imagine a country run by the party. It's like, imagine the State of the Union and Andrew WK with his gorgeous hair. It's just deadlocking the camera. And it's like, hey, there's a problem.
This is his entrance music into the State of the Union.
United States of America.
Party.
It is time to once again commence. The party, party! Also, maybe tax reform.
The full-on orchestra he's got behind him on most of this album just doesn't seem to do it for me. It does feel very fake. I don't know if they got instrumentation actually in studio to do this kind of stuff, but it doesn't sound like it. It feels electronic.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of fitting with the whole, like, Europe aesthetic, right? The 80s power rocker aesthetic.
Right.
I kind of personally found that I understand that as a musician, Andrew WK has no interest in subtlety or nuance. And that he has a lot of content, but I was really wishing that we could just cut out the very final chapter of You're Not Alone. Like, starting from The Devil's On Your Side Down. You know, you can even include In Your Darkest Moment. Yeah, like, that whole sequence to me. There's some instrumentals that last forever.
Right.
Like I said, Total Freedom just has, like, a really... It leaves, like, a bad taste in my mouth. This, like, it used to be so good. It's, like, maybe for you. But, you know, there's a lot of experiences in the world that weren't so good for other kinds of people.
It is definitely a long album, and the parties that go on longer than they should are always the worst kind of parties.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think this album is definitely front-loaded. The opening songs are the best singles on this thing. Back to back to back, we've got Music Is Worth Living For, Into Ever Again, which I think is pretty good. And then we get I Don't Know Anything, which I think is, for me, one of the highlights on this album. I think it's got a ton of energy, that same enthusiasm that you could find on his opening album. I think lyrically we could maybe get into what it represents and what it means, but musically, it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, this is going to be one of my highlights for sure.
And with each verse, the instrumentation gets a little louder, a little bit more complex. The keyboard arrangement becomes a little bit more varied and nuanced. And so by the end, he's just cranking. And what I love about Andrew W.K. songs is that there's just like one chord you can hit the whole way through the song and just like bam, 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 bam the whole way through it. And this is one of those songs. I love it.
Definitely. And something about the chorus of I Don't Know Anything.
Yeah.
Definitely reminds me of that I Get Wet era. Like, you're hinging your entire song around this, like, hilariously simple idea.
And you're selling it 100%.
Right. Like, I'm committed to being there with you.
Like, I think, you know, there's a wonderful review of I Get Wet on the website Sputnik Music by a user review up there. I'm not sure who wrote it exactly, but it's a fantastic closing paragraph that basically says there are three kinds of people that interact with Andrew W.K. There are those who enjoy his music ironically. And these folks are not to be trusted, because if you enjoy something ironically, it's just a defense to protect you from admitting your guilty pleasures, that you are not truly enjoying what's there. You're trying to keep some distance between you and this thing you love. So that's bad. There are the people that dislike Andrew W.K., and these folks are anti-party, anti-fun, anti-anything that's not good for them.
Right.
And the third kind of people are those that love Andrew W.K. because they are the salt of the earth. They are the ones upon which nations are built. They are those for whom the party tolls. And they are the greatest people that exist. And I think for me, going into the song, I'm like, man, I don't know if the song is really getting into this idea of like, well, I'm embracing my anti-intellectualism. And in this modern day and age, it's dangerous to espouse the fact that I don't know anything when, in fact, I am informed and I am a member of a citizenship and of a community. And then the music hits and you're like, nah, forget that, man. It's not even that. It's not even going for that. It's just trying to have a good time and say, you know, I'll make some mistakes. Of course I will. But in the big scheme of things, what do I really know about anything at all? I'm still young and naive in this world, and I'm just going to go through it and try to have a good time.
Yeah.
Party.
I have to say, coming into Andrew W.K., probably with less experience than you, just knowing some tracks off of I Get Wet, my new knowledge of Andrew W.K. is that he is some insane art project that he is totally reflective in some ways. Treating him as an individual, I think you'll get a different result. But if you're just listening to his music, just purely taking him in as a musician and not like a public figure, he is completely inscrutable. What he actually means and what he is actually getting at seems obvious until you take a step back and listen to someone else talk about Andrew W.K. and you realize the message is totally unclear. So I can very easily understand why someone would find Andrew W.K. annoying. I can also understand why someone would come out of it like you just did with all he wants to do is party. I can also understand how someone would come out of a track like that and go, he is some bizarre political apolitical figure. Like, it's just a, it's like an Andy Warhol painting or something. Like, it's, He's a extremely interesting musician in that he seems to mean nothing, and then people just imbue him with additional meaning, and he just stokes that fire.
He's a perfect mirror reflecting your own party ideals.
Right. It's confusing.
And it's fitting then that all he wears is that white t-shirt and those white pants.
Yes.
And he's a blank canvas.
Written these incredible, long screeds about the importance of why he wears all white.
Wow.
Which is important, because if he was just a dude who wore all white all the time, then the conversation wouldn't be charged. But it's the fact that he has strong ideas and he'll go on at length, and you'll still not understand why he's doing it. But some people will feel like they will. So it's this interpretive essay.
He's a fascinating dude.
I am I'm compelled to understand Andrew WK. And I'm not sure I ever will.
But I do think there are some moments on this thing where the mood gets a little bit flatter.
Sure.
An exciting feeling I get in my gut when I see the words like party mindset and the party never dies. I'm thinking yes, those are going to be great. They're surprisingly low key and surprisingly unexciting.
Yeah.
That's the kind of intro you play when you want to kill the party.
Right.
It's not really sad or reflective, but it does sort of kill the energy in the room. I don't know.
Sure. And I'm kind of curious what you feel about this, but there's some tracks where the energy is high, but also plastic. And a lot of what You're Not Alone did kind of convinced me that Andrew WK can and probably will write a musical.
Yes.
If you play a clip of pretty much anywhere, especially towards the end, within The Devil's on Your Side, tell me you don't agree with that.
I mean, if Green Day can write a musical, I think anybody can, right?
Wow. Rude. Don't be mean to Green Day. Did you see that musical?
American Idiot?
Yeah.
I've listened to the album.
Didn't they actually do a stage thing, though?
Yeah, it was on Broadway.
Yeah.
I won a Tony Award.
Amazing. But do you kind of hear what I mean?
Yeah, that's what the pit orchestra is playing while some character is having a moment where he realizes that the party is always been there for him and always will be.
Yeah, or maybe he's rising to some challenge. Realized I have to fight the devil inside.
Well, it's interesting that idea of the devil's on your side, and those lyrics kind of imply that the devil is talking to you, right? Saying, I've always been there for you, man, and right. I'm going to torment you and torture you and make it awful, but it's because I love you, because I want you to be the best person you can be.
Is that what you get out of that?
I don't know. That's kind of the lead-up and the spoken interlude, right? There's going to be hard times, but it's about living with the shadow and understanding that that is where we become better people. Deep down, we don't want an easy life.
Only someone with an easy life would ever say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, okay. But your interpretation makes a lot more sense than mine, which was just that in the musical, the devil, he signed his music contract with the devil, and then the song Break the Curse is him getting out of his record label.
No, that's Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny. You're thinking of that.
Is there really a difference?
It's
self-awareness, I guess.
And profanity.
Right.
It is impressive that the guy can go so long without using profanity. You'd think his songs would be more enthusiastic with the profanity, but it's a very PG album.
Yes, for sure. Oh, man, I don't even know. I'm just looking at that album art again and just thinking to myself, what is happening?
Okay, do we already have a Black Horse candidate for Album Art of the Year? Is this in the running? Because Every time I look at it, I'm like, what a work of art to see this splendored man standing with a microphone in his pants, staring down this hissing snake on the back streets of suburbia.
He's just like on some street in the middle of the suburbs.
And where's that microphone cord going to? Where's that plugged in?
I am fascinated by that image.
It's really good.
It's like recalling some like Adam and Eve thing.
Yeah. Rarely has an album cover perfectly represented the sound of an album quite like this one has. The way that thing looks is exactly how it sounds.
Yeah, and you're left vaguely wondering, like, okay, I think he means something I'm not picking up on, but for the life of me.
It's like that that modern art, like you said.
Yeah. God, the greatest artist of our time.
Some really good hooks on the song Keep On Going. I'm going to plop my needle down somewhere in this one and play a bit.
Whoa, hold on. We were just talking. My phone is off to the side. I am not anywhere near a highlighted Andrew WK's I Get Wet. I'm just kind of hovering over You're Not Alone. It just started playing I Love New York City without me touching it for the last 5 minutes.
Well, you love New York City, right?
Sure, but that's terrifying. I'm scared of Andrew WK.
Oh, yeah. New York City.
Oh, man.
Say what you want about 9/11 tribute songs. That might be the best one of them all.
That's a 9/11 tribute song?
Yeah. It came out after 9/11. He's like, I need to give a song for the people of New York to resonate. So what's the answer? I love New York City. What? Oh, yeah. New York City.
Is that real? Because I listen to that song and I hear him talking about the masses of people in suits and they're your mother fathers. And I hear like an anti-corporate song.
Yeah, I think that's also there, but there's also the idea of like, it never started and it can't end.
Wow. I thought he hated New York City.
No, I think he's genuine there.
That's the most amazing example of what Andrew WK is.
He just takes your beliefs and reflects them back at you. He's vague enough and just empty enough that it's always positive vibes. If you're never specific, then no one can ever take a beef with you.
Oh my god, that was amazing.
Wow. Let's play some Keep On Going.
I'm gonna submit him to MoMA.
Okay. Lots of great piano work underneath that song there in the background. It's not a very instrumental, solo-heavy album, but I think Keep On Going, you really get a lot of good keyboard.
Right, like it's a musical.
Yep. That's when Meatloaf comes out and has his role and sings that song.
Yeah, his loaf. He's a meatloaf sandwich.
But on the whole, Mark, I gotta say, it is a bit too long, it's a bit too flat, it's a bit too inconsistent, the party is not as fun as it was 2 decades ago, it is, we're all noticeably grayer, noticeably less enthusiastic, but I gotta respect the man for still getting the gang together after all this time, you know, like, much respect for him for just keeping us all in his thoughts and sharing a little bit of music with us.
Yeah, I actually think the added influence, like we'll keep calling it the Meatloaf effect, maybe, is potentially a really positive one. I think it works well on this album. And I'm not convinced Andrew WK is actually throwing the kinds of parties that I want to show up to, but I have to appreciate that he's not throwing the same party anymore.
Yeah, it'd be easy to just do the same one over and over again, but way less fun.
Let's have an Andrew WK dinner party album. All bossa nova jazz music.
And as you enjoy the dinner, he will put on a two-act musical in his own living room.
Oh, would I not pay for that? Oh, my God. That sounds incredible.
Oh, man. All right. With the whole interlude, of course, of spoken word, enthusiastic, you know, motivational stuff.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
I think I'm going to take two highlights from this album, Mark. I think I'm going to take Music Is Worth Living For and I Don't Know Anything, because most of the time I listened to this album, I got through those first four tracks and said, oh, that's enough of that.
Yep.
I've gotten the highlights. I think I feel pretty good about this.
Yeah, I'm totally there, with one exception. I'm going to also take Music Is Worth Living For, but I'm also going to take, rather than that track, I'm going to take a track that comes later on in the album, Keep On Going.
Yeah.
Which is a great classic feeling Andrew W.K. track that, if he were in his right mind, would be the album closer. And then yes, you just cut off everything that follows it.
Yep. I think that's a really good idea. And if I was taking more than two, I'd probably take that one as well.
Well, all right. This is another successful party.
We did it. I understand you have a thorough investigation that you want to get into here before we take a break.
Yes. So I've been doing a little investigative journalism. Honestly, I'm a stone's throw away from it at this point. I'd spent a lot of time researching Andrew W.K.
Okay. Okay. Why have you decided to do this?
Well, listen, I'm going to need you to do... I need you to join me on this journey, Charlie. So what I need you to do is... Is it possible for you to throw up like a YouTube video or two if I send you a link through Skype? So this has been eating up my psychology for the last 4 days. I thought it would be fun to learn about Andrew W.K. as a person, because he did the show This Is Not Happening, the Comedy Central True Story Party stand-up show. And he told a story that I thought was really charming about how his first music gig... Well, first of all, how he wanted to be a fashion designer when he was in high school, and then got to work, was terrible at it, and then cried, and then was either fired or quit. So his first music gig, he did like a little special guest thing as like a 16 or 17 year old, went up to play the song and then realized, oh, I didn't think I'd be playing, I thought I would just be backstage. He realized what he thought didn't make any sense, and then went on stage. They said, play something, and he said, I didn't think it would be like this. And the band who was behind him was like playing along with him, just like say any song. And then he said a song he doesn't know at all, which was Elton John's Rocket Man, which he played in the wrong key. And that was his first music gig. And I thought, this is a charming fellow. I want to dive deeper into his life. And I fell down the biggest internet rabbit hole I have yet to fall into. I'm convinced that Andrew W.K. is the most inscrutable artist in modern music today. It all starts with a conspiracy. A conspiracy that Andrew W.K. is not Andrew W.K., but another Andrew W.K. An Andrew W.K. who is play-acting as Andrew W.K.
So it's like the Paul is Dead thing.
It goes even deeper.
Okay.
So go ahead, type into your cellular telephone or whatever your internet browser of choice is. I want you to search for Gawker Andrew W.K. Identity, and then click on that article and look at the image at the top.
Okay, so the image says there is more than one Andrew W.K. Anyone who says otherwise is lying or never saw all the pictures. Then there are three pre-2005 photos and then post-2005. The 2005 awkward switch did happen. All the above photos were taken from the public World Wide Web. Someone else started playing the role of Andrew W.K. after 2005. This is fact.
What do you think when you look at those photos?
I don't know that I see a huge difference. On the left-hand side, he's got facial hair, and on the right-hand side, he doesn't. So
that is literally the difference.
I think that's the only...
Yeah. I want to be clear that... So there is a conspiracy that was somewhat popular for a little while, that Andrew W.K. was replaced by a new person who was play-acting as Andrew W.K. Potentially, he's never sung, really. It's all pre-recorded, potentially by Dave Grohl. That's how the conspiracy goes. I don't believe that. I think that is a hilarious and insane thing to believe. But just to be clear off the front. However, Andrew W.K., in an interview, when asked about this conspiracy, in kind of a joking tone, went on to say, well, look at me. Do you think I'm the same Andrew W.K. I was before? And he goes on stage and he goes, look at me. I am not the same. And he's very explicit about it. He goes, I am not the same Andrew W.K. as you've seen before. When you look at me, do you really think I'm that same person? I am a different person.
Oh, my God.
Why would Andrew W.K. do that? I thought to myself. This seems like an odd thing. Turns out, he regretted doing that. And he says, you know what? I was playing into it for my own reasons. I need to settle the score. I'm going to throw a town hall Q&A session.
Oh, no.
Yes. So this is an article from The Atlantic by a reporter named Chris Good. Now, Chris Good...
Doing good work out there, Chris.
Hilarious. Hilarious, Charlie. What a good bit. Let's all applaud Charlie on his good bit.
His good bit.
Oh, my God. Oh, I will set you on fire. And also me roasting you is masking this time it takes for me to pull out this quote.
Okay. That's good. See, it was all intentional.
Yes. So Chris Good has gone on to have a pretty lucrative career. He is a respectable journalist. He covered the 2016 election for ABC News. He's a real dude. And so whenever he says this, he covered the Q&A session. And whenever he says this, I believe him. So after he watched the Q&A session, this is what he had to say in his article for the Atlantic. But what he did, or after the statement, Andrew W.K. opened the event for questions. He got a few tough ones and many softballs. But what he did, and I have never seen this tactic, if that's what it was, used at any political press conference or open question event before, was to avoid answering not just the hard questions to which he can't or won't respond for whatever contractual or professional reason, but the softball questions along with them. An audience member asked whether his songs would appear on Guitar Hero or Rock Band, and he immediately launched into a tangent about the film Couples Retreat and the innate sexual chemistry between Vince Vaughn and Kristen Bell. It's confusing. So basically, Andrew W.K. after the fact says, I think I made everything worse. And is then interviewed by Wolf Blitzer. And this is when I want you to see, because this sounds hilarious, right? It sounds like he's joking. But I want you to go on your YouTubes, if you would.
Going on the YouTubes.
I want you to just search Andrew W.K. interview. All right, now scroll down. Oh, I'm sorry, not Wolf Blitzer. Larry King. Excuse me, not Wolf Blitzer. Larry King interviews him. So scroll down to exclusive. Andrew W.K. addresses fraud, Illuminati rumors, Larry King now. Should only be a few videos down.
Yeah. Okay.
So skip to maybe like 2 minutes into that video and we'll start there.
Do with a lot of the side of my work, which is best just ignored. Not that you shouldn't have asked about it. I think it has to do with doubt, which is a healthy instinct, a healthy questioning.
So you like this
instinct.
Thing.
I like
this actually
piece.
Helps your persona, doesn't it? No, wait a minute. This is a good gimmick.
Well, that's very kind of you to interpret.
Think about this. You create an aura that people even think you're not. That's a great gimmick.
Well, that's
I've got it.
Whatever way you want to take it, that makes you think that
that's your party.
If I've impressed you, then I've succeeded at something.
I'm told to ask you. I have no idea what this means. Who is Steve Mike?
That is the name of a group of people that helped me in my early stages, and I still work with some of them.
They're a group?
Yes, they go by a collective name.
Steve Mike. Sounds like one person.
It does, and it's a very bizarre and maybe a bit clumsy of a name, but this was their choice.
And there are numerous fan pages saying you're a member of organizations like Illuminati, the Italian, the Freemasons, the Church of Scientology. Any of that true?
I am not a member of any of those formally, no.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so... bizarre answer, and I don't know if you could tell. I wanted you to see that because there are moments in that interview in which Andrew W.K. looks like he is going to burst into tears.
He's very uncomfortable sitting in this chair being interrogated by Larry King and his intense shoulders.
Yes. And I kind of maybe should have asked you to get the timestamp earlier because there's a moment in which Larry King asks, well, if people don't think you're really Andrew W.K., why don't you just bring your father on right now? And then Andrew W.K. says, I can't. He's in the bathroom. Which is crazy. What a crazy answer. Just say, no, I won't. He's in the bathroom? Are you part of the Illuminati? Not formally. Andrew W.K., what are you talking about? Say no. So I'm completely baffled by this man, this strange man. And there's a crazy discourse around him. And so I decided to go just a touch deeper. And this is the second video and final video I'm going to ask you to watch. And this is when I realized I truly don't understand Andrew W.K. He's not just some weirdo who's enjoying his conspiracy. Search Andrew WK, funniest interview ever. It'll be the top search result.
Gallup poll on what's morally acceptable. Andrew, you pointed out correctly, I think, that infidelity tops the list of morally unacceptable issues because it involves lying, breaking a commitment. Question for you, though. Do you think the fact that 92% of Americans think infidelity is immoral, but only 91% of Americans think polygamy is immoral, means that it's 1% more moral to stay married to your wife and marry the person you're married to?
Yes.
That's a good video, right?
I've seen that before. That GIF.
Okay.
So yeah, that's great. So
yeah, that's great, right? But if you only get the audio, like our listeners will, you'll realize, first of all, that's a Fox News clip. Why is Andrew WK being interviewed about infidelity on Fox News? How did this happen?
He's the only one that responded to their emails.
Like, maybe, I've been thinking that too, maybe he just likes to engage with everyone regardless. But like, how did he end up in an interview about infidelity? What is happening with this man's career? Who is this man?
Is he just intentionally scrambling up people's minds?
I'm wondering, Charlie, if his mind ain't a little scribbled itself.
Hmm. His slow descent into that face is pretty fantastic.
It is really funny. It's great.
That's some Jim Carrey level of face distortion.
Oh, man, that's a perfect comparison, too. Maybe he's one of those types of people who the fame just ends up completely filtering all reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they just see things differently and are completely unaware because no one punctures their bubble of when they're correct or incorrect.
Or maybe he's just continuing to reflect the reality of those he interacts with. And so when speaking to this person on Fox News, that was the energy that he felt coming at him and had no choice but to reflect it back at them.
That's amazing. He's like, oh, this guy's angry. Like, I gotta let this out.
It's like that thing in Annihilation.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, you cut out there.
It's like that thing in Annihilation.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up this segment here, but I went on to
wrap
find
up your 60 Minutes profile.
I'm definitely adding some dramatic music beneath this. I went on to find that he has been on the Glenn Beck show. He's been on a lot of Fox News segments, sometimes just local TV segments, but sometimes to talk about culture. And it's always about niceness or some traditional moral values that I find really fascinating because it sort of draws into the idea. This is a larger question, but it sort of draws into the idea that being apolitical is being politically inert, and being politically inert therefore equals being conservative. So you'll be, even if you don't engage, you'll be more likely to fall into the Fox News category of politics than the MSNBC category, let's say. And that's why I was so fascinated by returning to his party. Do you remember the party, Charlie?
Yes, of course.
The political group that he started. I read NPR's coverage of the party. And the author of an article who covered it made a note that it didn't seem like he blinked. He was very serious. This was his real persona. He was being earnest that he actually thinks the party should be a real political movement. Mm. Long story short, Andrew WK scares the shit out of me. I don't understand what he means. He freaks me out. He has a scary stare. He talks a lot. He can't confirm or deny all of his conspiracies. He makes things weird. And I'm made deeply uncomfortable. And now whenever I hear tracks on You're Not Alone, all I can picture is that face and, like, him with, like, an axe. Like, just, he's become this, like, terrifying figure to me because I can't figure him out. And I think someone needs to do a long-form report on this because this is interesting.
He's like that thing in Annihilation.
Just, like, spitting out another personality.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Annihilation.
I'll
see it. I'll get around to it.
All right. Well, good reporting, Mark.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week on 60 Minutes. And we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some Black Panther songs. So come back.
Come back, please.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Alrighty, we are back and ready to get into the latest from the Billboard. It's Black Panther time. It's Kendrick. It's SZA. It's all the stars.
All the above.
We're also going to check out the music video this time around because it is from the same folks that did a number of the videos for Damn, that being Dave Myers and the Little Homies. Certainly a really fantastic visual styling to all their videos they've put out. I'm excited to see what they've got this time around.
Yeah, this is that on the videos for Damn were
top notch,
incredible, unbelievable.
Yeah,
particularly Humble, but. Yeah, I'm excited for this.
The cover for the Black Panther album is also really minimalist and just awesome. You see that, Mark?
Yeah, I it's very Kendrick to me. It like signals that this isn't just a movie soundtrack kind of thing. This is a real thing he wants to put out.
It is curated by Kendrick Lamar. I am all for returning to the days of artists curating the soundtracks to films. You know, that was a very popular thing once upon a time, and I think we're missing that. It's becoming more generic. Give me some singular artists who are totally in charge of curating the sound for this production.
Yeah, especially when so many like film composers are just kind of directed to sound like Hans Zimmer. Like
right.
The people who end up innovating, in my opinion, are many of them, at least in the blockbuster scene, tend to be big name artists.
Outside
about,
the
like,
Echo Chamber.
Daft Punk did with
Tron.
Tron,
yeah.
Or you think about the movie Hannah, the Chemical Brothers soundtrack for that was unbelievably good.
Yeah.
I am 100% down for, even if it's just curation like this, this is a great idea.
Yep. And I think we're seeing it with a ton of commercial success as well. You know, even if the movie wasn't making gangbusters at the box office, I think this album would still be doing pretty well.
Definitely. As it should. Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest artists of our time.
Yes.
I know that's a controversial opinion.
Nope.
But I'm saying it now.
It's not controversial. It's a fact.
That's true. Objective.
30 seconds, Mark. Let's hit it. Okay, it's immediately visually amazing once again. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
There's a lot I want to talk about here.
Well, let's get into it, man. Love, let's talk about love.
Okay, first, this I'm just going to go with the first knee-jerk thing, is that the down-low auto-tune production reminds me of some older Kanye stuff right away.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay. According to Genius, the pre-chorus here recalls Kendrick's 2017 song Love, where he raps about the struggles of relationships and how I'll always be there for his love, but questions whether she'll be there for him. Keep it 100, I'd rather you trust me than to love me. Keep it a whole 100, don't got you, got none. Kendrick is in a long-term relationship with high school sweetheart and fiancé Whitney Alford, whom he described as his best friend in an interview with Billboard. In Black Panther, T'Challa has just been crowned as the king of Wakanda following his father's death. He is struggling not just in his new position, but with increasingly complicated relationships of love with his family, with his friends, his lover, and his people.
His lover.
His lover.
Yeah, I think this video, it's interesting because having not seen Black Panther, I guess I was waiting for a little bit more. I totally correct me if I'm wrong. But I was waiting for a little bit more obvious signaling of a superhero like Marvel aesthetic to be kind of pervasive, but this just feels African.
Yep.
Like the colors, fashion. It all just feels very much of real world culture to me, and not from a Disney film.
Yeah. And I think that's what people, again, I haven't seen Black Panther yet either. I'm way behind my movie viewing. But I think Black Panther is so fantastic because of that representation, that it is so much more than just superheroes on the screen, that it does represent, you know, the African people getting their, you know, long overdue displaying on screen.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a really cool thing. And I get this like big schadenfreude out of the fact that for literally decades, for most of Hollywood's big budget era, the idea that you couldn't have a person of color be, or a cast of people of color be the big seller.
Or at least that it was like a risk financially, like you're taking a risk by doing that.
Right, which is hilarious. It's the same with video games too, which is hilarious because the only data they have to prove that is the fact that none of those movies really existed, or if they did, it was on a pretty niche scale.
Right.
Most big budget movies are obviously star white people, so it's this like obviously disprovable thing that doesn't make any sense. And now the fact that finally we have a movie that's like that is amazing.
The floodgates have been opened.
Put it in your pants, Wall Street.
That shot of the boat sailing across the hands is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh man. And I love how every one of these things gets like a title card like that of like, this is the title of the movie as directed by this person and these people.
Yes. All feels very iconic, shot per shot.
That consistency is really pleasing to me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
it's
keep
like
going.
Very cold and digital, but also very earthy.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Good combination of feelings. Let's keep going. Man, Sis is a babe.
Yeah, that's true.
She's fantastic.
That's really emotional.
Yeah. Visually, that looks super cool.
Just dancing in that African digital space.
Yeah. She looks great.
She does look great, and that's really cool. That's it's very moving.
Yeah.
Can't think of a time in a movie soundtrack I've... not a score. There's been great scores, but I can't think of a time in a song written for a movie soundtrack I felt moved since Prince's "Do the Batman Dance."
SZA's chorus invokes the feeling of reaching for the stars to achieve your dreams and or chase the success. The chorus also contains thematic connections to the Black Panther comic book lore. Stars are often symbolic of past spirits or supernatural beings watching over us. The Black Panther can commune with all previous Black Panther spirits to draw on their knowledge and expertise. Only the current Black Panther can do this, bringing him closer to his ancestors and their wisdom. As part of his initiation into the role of the Black Panther, T'Challa is required to meet Bast, the Panther God. During T'Challa's quest, Bast appears to T'Challa in his dreams. Note that at the time of the song's release, fans had already speculated about this encounter based on scenes featured in the film's official trailer. The Black Panther is the last movie before Avengers Infinity War, a movie in which all of Marvel's superheroes come together from every corner of the universe to fight their greatest adversary. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is finally shrinking and bringing all those loose ends together.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a long time coming. I want to see Robert Downey Jr. talk to a raccoon with a rocket launcher.
Please. And more Thor.
Sure. The character, not the franchise.
Yes, please.
So Kendrick appeared in that 30 seconds.
Just briefly screen. At the very end there.
Yeah, just kind of walked into a crowd, just kind of turned around and was like, oh, I'm here. And it cut away.
I'm frozen right now on the still of him sitting in a chair with some other guys posed in various business attire behind and around him.
Yeah, I'm there too, because we're both watching the video.
Right. I just wanted to make sure we stopped at the right spot.
Soccer ball.
Yeah. Again, it's sort of digital, but sort of earthy as well. It's a combination of browns and grays, but that really strong orange glow pushing through the buildings and the doors.
Yeah, in a pretty obvious juxtaposition between sort of like a classic human architecture in modernism, modernity, I guess I should say.
Modernity.
The suits and the power lines kind of conspicuously visible through the fractured buildings, the very old style buildings. So I don't really know where that's headed, but that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I just want to keep watching this video. I want to see what cool visual happens next.
Let's do it.
Let's go. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me. Fuck you and all your expectations. I don't even want your congratulations. I recognize your false confidence and calculated promises all in your conversation. I hate people that feel entitled. Look at me crazy cause I ain't invite you. Oh, you important, you the moral to the story. You endorsing motherfucker, I don't even like you. Corrupt a man's heart with a gift. Okay. Ooh.
There we go. You know when Kendrick's going to stand up out of that chair, he's going to say some cool shit.
Yeah. I like the shot of the explosions in the sky on the rooftops. The shot's so nice, they put it in there twice.
Yeah.
Some cool dancing going on. Obviously, lots of callback to traditional African culture with the clothing and the dancing and the setting of the video here.
Yeah, we're getting a pretty good sense that the people in the video kind of live a life under siege, kind of live a life of being jostled by outside forces. I like that. It's interesting. I will say this video is deeply blue. This video is extremely blue.
Mm-hmm. Like color-wise, you mean?
Yeah.
Not
like
sad.
They overt. It's so blue. It is kind of blue in that sense. But, yeah, it's like very color-corrected to be like completely blue. It feels like a action film from 2007.
2007, a classic year. At the lyric that says, "I hate people that feel entitled," Genius says, "Kendrick feels that due to his fame, many people feel entitled to his friendship. Many feel they are important enough to roll with him, even if he doesn't like them and doesn't want them at his parties." That's reminiscent of the song off of Damn from last year.
It's also reminiscent of the last Andrew WK album.
Yeah, sure. Kendrick feels that the only person who is important is one who is the moral to the story, meaning that he or she has a solution to the problem that's been plaguing the world for centuries, racism. From the lens of the Marvel Universe, Black Panther is a still relatively new hero introduced in Captain America Civil War. He has not yet had a major part in saving the world, but he owes nothing to the Avengers. He is the king of Wakanda and need not prove anything to the predominantly white entitled heroes.
Yeah, that was always an interesting thing, dynamic in the comics back when I was reading comics, was that, like, he felt so isolated. He felt like he had his own world and universe, whereas everybody else was just constantly in and out of each other's stories.
Well, I mean, he is literally isolated, right?
Yeah, they're all in New York City. It's hilarious to me that there's like 50 million superheroes all in New York City. It'd be impossible to live there.
It's just mathematics. It's just population density, you know?
Yeah, you know your city's become gentrified when you see three members of the Fantastic Four, at least three Avengers, and a Spider-Man swinging by.
Son of a gun. Human Torch is below me this year, and man, my apartment is constantly roasting. You gotta keep the air on in December.
No kidding, I got Iceman. The door to my left, and I got
the worst
on all the time. Yeah,
he's the worst.
Killed him. I shot him to death.
One thing that is cool about all these Genius annotations is that there are a ton of snapshots from the Black Panther comics thrown throughout this thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I really appreciate that the geniuses are not just annotating on the lyrics there and the message inside the lyrics, but actually connecting it to the source material of the comics. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like that this video feels like deeply thought out. It's one of those things where you can kind of tell. Sometimes it can make an image feel busy, but when a filmmaker has decided that like the set of the shot, the mise-en-scene, if you will, of the shot is going to have a ton of detail and everything is going to have a very specific purpose, not just in framing, but in object placement. And this is definitely feels like one of those. I think that's a great style for a music video when everything is already, by the nature of the form, so forced to be emblematic anyway, or metaphoric anyway. It's really neat. This is like the best kind of music video.
Agreed. He's making some great ones. Let's keep going.
That's how you find out who you're dealing with. A small percentage you I'm building with. I want the credit if I'm losing or I'm winning. Oh, my mama, that's the realest shit.
Let's talk about love.
Panthers.
Yep.
There's a whole bunch of Panthers.
Just a totally nuked out forest and some Panthers. Kendrick hanging out.
And he's just walking through the forest with them.
Yeah. Where are they going, do you think?
To their new land to be conquerors.
Oh. I was going to say they're going to the bank to cash in all this money they're making from this music video.
Yeah, I think that's true. The lyric, corrupt a man's heart with a gift, that's how you find out who you're dealing with. This is a reference to the story of Adam and Eve in the Bible, which explains man's original sin. Eve gave Adam, a man, the gift of an apple from the tree of knowledge that corrupted them both and resulted in their expulsion from the Garden of Eden. But it was really the fault of the serpent who originally tricked Eve into eating the apple. Eric Killmonger, the main villain in the Black Panther comics, is the giver of the gift from the song and attempts to overthrow the king. Similar to the serpent from the biblical story, Killmonger attempts to help the king, but his true intentions are malicious.
Yep, pretty classic comic book myth-making there.
Yeah, classic literary stuff there too, huh?
Some Shakespeare stuff. Yeah, it's like so much of comic books just like fade into like fables at a certain point.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like every story that's been told has been told before in a different way.
Yeah, and so much of what comic books do is just bury that with like a ton of plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if instead of obvious evil figure, it was obvious evil figure who was a twin mirror image, but he wasn't just a twin mirror image of the hero. He's also related to Hydra, which is also related to this character, which is also, yeah.
Oh, I never saw that coming.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. We got to buy the next issue. You know, I bought a comic the other day for the first time in years.
What'd you buy?
I bought this. I walked into a comic store because I had to pick up some drugs from the store where they sell drugs. And I was like, all right, I got to kill some time because they're getting my prescription ready. I'll just walk into this comic store. I haven't been in one in a while. Guy explained everything that's happened in Marvel to me in the last 5 years. And I was like, oh, nope, can't do this. I'll just buy a Spider-Man comic. And he's like, well, keep in mind, Spider-Man is Iron Man now because he has all the wealth. He's more wealthy than Tony Stark. And his different version of him from the alternate universe, Miles Morales, is he's regular Spider-Man. So if you want regular Spider-Man who's not the regular Spider-Man, you're going to want to buy the other Spider-Man book. And I was like, all right, is there something simpler? And he sold me on getting this comic. It's in an alternate universe where all the Spider-Man and Mary Jane have Spider-Man powers, and they have a daughter who also has Spider-Man powers, and it's very good. I'm enjoying it.
Man, I would have just dropped the book on the counter and been like, well, you dropped the sale from me. See you later, buddy, and walked out of there.
Yeah, that's you're rude generally to customer service employees.
Yeah.
Like that.
I hate people that have passions and try to share them with me when I don't want them.
Right. I've noticed that about you.
We should also note that SZA's hanging out in the Starfield again. She's spinning around in the Red Stars now.
She's the new Silver Surfer, is the implication.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right. But she's not just a Silver Surfer. She's Silver Surfer from Universe 1843 because she killed the Silver Surfer from 1841 and then took that power. So she also has Black Widow's powers. Yeah. She's secretly a Hydra agent.
Now that they got that license back from 21st Century Fox, they can really get into it.
Oh, that's yeah. Own everything. One company should own everything.
Let's keep going. Let me know all the stars are closer. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer. Maybe the night that my tears were let me know. All the stars are closer.
Yeah. Fly away.
Scissiverse.
Welcome to the Scissiverse.
Did you hear about how, like, SZA was really not convinced that her album was any good?
Really?
Yeah. There was some interview. I can't remember where I read it, but they were saying, like, all these people kept telling me, like, how mad they were that I didn't win these, like, Grammy awards. And, like, honestly, I didn't even think the album was that good. All you people were, like, losing your mind about it. And, like, I don't even think I deserved it. So, like, I guess I should be upset, but I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Just, like, really,
considering how much self-doubt is on that album, I guess that checks out.
Yeah. But that also just made me like, man, you're the coolest. Like, I want you, like, to make it big and make a lot of cool more songs.
I think SZA will be just fine. Yeah. If her presence in this video is any indication.
And she's in some other commercial now, too, where she's singing, like, the... That, we all know that's how we make it in the music world, like, being in commercials.
Yeah.
But the fact that she is front and center on American televisions on the regular is got to be good for her image.
Definitely. She's the kind of artist that could I easily see blowing up in a huge mainstream way. I mean, she already is. When I say that, please understand that I know she already is. She's in this massive music video for this massive movie with the most massive artist in rap. Like, she's blown up. It's there. But I think her crossover appeal with people who don't care about music one whit is pretty sizable.
We got a lot of color going on in the video now. Lots of red, green, and yellow with some black in there. Pretty traditional African flag colors with some ladies in pink, which appear to be fluffy feathers, spinning around, having a good time. It's kind of psychedelic, kind of disorienting to look at.
That shot is amazing.
Yeah.
But I can't help but think about the poor production assistant who had to cut out all of those sleeves.
Yeah, agreed.
So someone got paid that day to spend 8 hours just cutting out little sleeves for that, for her to lay on, which is cool, I guess.
It's an interesting first line in her verse. It says, skin covered in ego. The Genius annotation reads, SZA likens her ego or sense of self to the indestructible metal vibranium, which renders Black Panther nearly impervious to physical attack.
It's true. It's true.
SZA might also be referring to the color of her skin here, personifying her blackness as her ego and part of her identity. Just like Black Panther wears an impervious black suit to fight and protect his people, she is also wearing her black skin to show her confidence or ego unapologetically. Additionally, this phrase could the character Eric Stevens, a.k.a. Killmonger, whose skin is marked, one scar for every kill he's made in the past. He oozes with confidence throughout the film, even at his low points. I guess I hadn't considered the symbolic resonance that is Black Panther, where his skin is indestructible, and his skin is, like, his suit is that skin-tight black suit.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I think there's, like, a conversation to be had about, like, what myth-making and comic books means. I'm totally not the person that believes, like, comic heroes are our modern myths, because I think when you think traditionally of myths, they're not figures that companies sell products of. Like, our myths cannot be owned by something. They're things that are freely shared. But the closest you get is whenever a character who I don't know Black Panther's history. It's totally possible that was planned from the get-go with that character, that would be a metaphor for his the power of his blackness. Maybe that was true. But I get more of a sense that this was, over the years, artists imbuing that quality onto him in a really cool way.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty key to his character. But
cool. So this says, no control, no off switch. SZA uses computer-related wordplay here because computers have an on or off switch. They also have a control key. CTRL, perhaps like the machine itself, since his actions are at the whim of the user, or in this case, a person who might literally be using her. SZA's debut album was also titled CTRL.
Oh.
The cover art depicted her with old used computers.
It's true, it did. I can confirm that.
Nate underneath says, this is not in the song, LOL. I don't know what he's talking about there, but...
Can you not read LOL? Could you actually just laugh? Because that's how he intended that to be read.
This is not in the song.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Let's keep going. Turn on, get it away from me. Leave me wrong, keep away from me. And it's how I don't get it away
look at that shot.
Phew. It's a lot of gold.
Some awesome set design.
I could listen to SZA vocalize over anything for like half an hour. Like, just like, just let her sing whatever. She's great.
Totally. One of the few artists that, when featured on a Kendrick track, I am thrilled to hear her take center stage ahead of Kendrick.
Yeah. Top Dog Entertainment, baby.
Yep. TDE.
TDE.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Ta-da, more like.
Ta-da. Yeah, we missed the section that was all blue in the middle there. I didn't talk about that. It's really blue. Lots of tribal markings.
Yeah, like, I just think about how, like, so much of this video is beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. The aesthetic of it is really cool. I like the visual, it's not like fashion design. I don't know what you would call it. Costume design. Mm-hmm. There you go. Costume design is amazing.
Yeah. We are frozen at 3 minutes on some ladies garbed in gold of various designs, a whole bunch of symbols in gold on a black background, sort of a reflective black floor, nice slant angle on the camera. It's really powerful. Just a snapshot. So many of this, so many shots of this video could just be like singled out and printed as, you know, individual frames.
Yeah. Again, that's perfect music video design. I love when a music video is shot like that.
Yeah.
Entirely not reminiscent, actually. I watched the a music video for Andrew WK's Party Hard.
Yeah.
And most of the music video is just him performing the song with his band.
Right.
But then there is another series of shots where he is in front of giant sort of lit up neon sign that says Party Hard that lights up as the chorus goes Party Hard, Party Hard. And it just flips back and forth. It mirrors the image over and over. So, you know, something like that. Like, this is basically the cinematic equivalent of that. Pretty much on an equal scale there.
Yeah. Where one is black, the other is white.
I can't think of any other difference between Andrew W.K. and Kendrick Lamar. Can you?
I mean, they're coming from a very similar space, at least, you know, intellectually.
Yeah, I'd say they pretty much share, like, this is a meeting of the minds waiting to happen. I can't wait for the next version of Ebony and Ivory starring Kendrick Lamar and Andrew W.K.
I can't imagine a more compelling pair.
Yeah.
Let's press on. And suddenly we're on the set of Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. Having a good time.
Kendrick's just walking around like a creeper checking the ladies out.
I was thinking that too.
In his like silk shirt.
Yeah. That is a weird image for sure.
I don't know. We haven't had general thoughts yet. We're almost to the end. Oh, what do you think about this so far? Pretty good?
I think the production's amazing. I love that percussion.
Yeah.
That thunk, thunk, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. I think as far as Kendrick features go, it's pretty flat for him. It's not super engaging rap-wise, but I do agree with you. Like, it's SZA front and center here, and this is a pretty strong anthem for her. And, you know, hey, getting those two people together, what more could you ask for?
Totally. And I think that's maybe even part of the where the song is kind of headed, the statement it's making. If you think about that last shot, he's standing behind a bunch of women who are in gold, and he's sort of in darker colors, letting them take center stage. So why not? Why not have SZA be the center stage? Like in this moment where black male voices are finally allowed this huge, prominent stage presence. You know, why not have Kendrick use this opportunity to allow some black women to take center stage in his corner of that story?
It rocks, man.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, pause at 3:30 here. Another fantastic still image of these what appear to be much taller women. I don't know if that's a trick of the camera or if they're actually meant to be like 10 feet tall. And watered floor with a nice golden like mask on the wall behind Some fantastic lighting and cinematography here once again.
Yeah, it's like driving home this idea to me that Kendrick saw the Black Panther kind of project as an opportunity to borrow the aesthetic at the heart of that movie and just completely do his own thing with it on a way more massive stage than he's given before.
Yeah.
And again, the women towering over him, and not in an aggressive way, but just in a way that asserts their power.
Yeah.
Totally feeds into the idea of giving black women center stage sometimes.
Man, this Kendrick guy is pretty good at what he does, huh?
He might just be the greatest.
He might just be the greatest. And that's why it's not controversial, Mark. That's why it is a fact.
Right.
Can we finish this video together?
I'm excited to see where it ends up.
Here we go.
Africa was in her head the whole time.
Africa was in her head the whole time.
Oh, it was a dream.
Oh, man.
Africa was a dream.
What do you think those ladies represent?
I think they represent just black female empowerment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's four of them, does the number four mean anything? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe we'll just do another 30-second break now. Let's hit the rewind button. Do it again.
Okay. Restart.
Figure it out.
I don't know about you, Mark, but I think I'm going to take it on my playlist for the year, huh?
Yeah, me too. You better believe your butt I'm taking it.
We got to see Black Panther.
Yeah, you've not seen it either.
No, we're like the two people in the world that haven't seen that thing yet.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it looks really cool. And I love superheroes, and it's been a while since I watched a superhero movie, so I'm so ready.
Yeah. And you realize as well that we are a month and a half away from Infinity War because they knocked it up to the last weekend of April.
Ooh, really? Oh, man, I got to hurry. I got to see Thor right now. I'm Black Panther. Oh, my God. I'm behind.
Nothing says, like, we are confident that we're about to make $3 billion at the box office, like, raising your weekend opening date. Like, it's supposed to come out in May. No, we're doing it in April now. We're moving the release date up. Whoa.
That's almost unheard of, I think.
They're locking in the warp drive and you're going to blast it into the box offices.
Oh.
Wow,
that was a great breakdown. I had a good time just now. That was a great song.
If you're listening and you haven't seen the video yet, check that thing out. It's super visual and super great.
It totally like Black Blade Runner. That's like a really good way to think of it. That's rad.
All right, so here's the part where we talk about other stuff we listened to this week. I will start by asking you, Mark, have you seen what Vince Staples has been up to recently?
I have been keeping abreast of it a little bit, yeah.
Okay. I think he's just one of the funniest dudes out there. Like, he's got maybe the best sense of humor in the rap scene right now. And he's recently posted a GoFundMe video for early retirement. He has asked the people to stop complaining about the recent show performances, and now you can sign up on the GoFundMe page and donate a maximum of $2 million so that he could use the money for any of the following things. Number one, move to Palmdale. Two, buy a Honda. Three, get a year's supply of soups for the homies locked down. Or four, buy a puppy. The idea being, hey, you know, shut up or finance my lifestyle. And I think that's hilariously funny. And there's a great video of him just like talking to the camera about it. Really good stuff there. He has released a single in response now, which is Get the F Off My D. So there's that.
Awesome. I love Vince Staples.
He's pretty great.
Yeah.
I know he just put an album out last year and it was fantastic, but I can't wait to see what that guy does next.
Of course.
Some other stuff. We know that Lord and Run the Jewels and Mitski are embarking on a tour of North America, which I gotta say is like so close to being my perfect concert ticket. Like, that's a really excellent lineup for me. And I am excited to say I'll be seeing the show in just about a month here. Really, really excited to see all of those folks together. And more so to see what kind of people that ticket brings to an arena. Like, is it just going to be a bunch of, like, 20-year-old something guys that are hanging out? I don't know. We'll see what happens. Or maybe it's a mix of, like, young preteens who love Lord and the older middle-aged crowd who likes Mitski, and then the guys that like the Run the Jewels crowd. I have no idea what we're in for, but it's going to be great.
I think having a group of preteens who love the Lord and a series of men in their 40s who are with them definitely sounds like a church event. If there was a way to make that sound less exciting, you really couldn't have figured it out.
Well, in preparation, the crew has released a single, a remix, an LP remix of Supercut from Lord's album Melodrama. Have you heard this yet?
I have not.
Let's play a little bit. Somehow, none of LP's beats sound exactly the same, but as soon as you hear it, you're like, yep, that's LP.
Yeah, totally.
Something about that is very LP. I don't know that it always works for me in the way I want it to, especially considering the overwhelming positivity that the original version of the track has. This is much gloomier, much darker. But it's Run the Jewels and it's Lord on one track. It's pretty neat. Here's a glimpse of the interlude halfway through the track. I love when Run the Jewels goes like 200 beats per minute. That's great. But when they slow it down just a tick and let Killer Mike throw all his like wordplay in there, like I feel like that's maybe when he's at his best. Is just like tiptoeing around that, you know, 130, 140 mark. Oh man, he's great.
Yeah.
Honestly, if that was a remix that just was the original song, but you added an LP just going every few seconds, that would still be really good.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I will say, Mark, we can hype up the 100th episode, which is just a couple of episodes away now. If we're at 98 here, we got just two more new episodes till 100. And sure. I've been re-listening to a lot of old stuff and trying to figure out, of all of the albums that I know, which are the 25 or so I'd hold on to and make the essentials list here. But I'm going to save all of that because I don't want to spoil anything, but I've had to make some tough decisions, and I found that my musical taste may not be as diverse as I want it to be. When I look at what I've got here, I'm thinking, like, wow, I sure seem like a surface-level kid that doesn't know a whole lot about what he's talking about, which is fine, but I really want this list to be reflective of my own true interests and not just some, like, oh, well, these are the best albums ever, because that's boring.
Yeah, I definitely, like, the way I've been framing my list has been, what are the 25 most important albums to me? Like, what was my being reared on music and discovering music growing up, coming into now? Like, what has really stuck with me my whole life? And I've been having a similar problem on a different end, which is, you know, punk music has been so important to me through my life, but it's a lot of singles that I would put above albums. Only a few punk albums are probably going to be on my list, despite the fact that it was like all I listened to for years.
Right.
So it's not the really complete tough album. Exactly, yeah. Like, there's definitely tracks that...
Yeah.
There's a Boys Next Door track called Shiver that is easily one of my top 50 songs of all time, maybe even top 25 songs of all time. But that album's not that crazy good, so it's not going to make the cut. It's a really interesting way to break down a list.
Yeah, I hear that. It's going to be a fascinating show in a couple of weeks here. So, other than that, I've been not listening to a whole lot else. So, I'll pass the buck to you.
Give me that buck.
Here it is.
Okay, thank you. I decided it would be fun, considering we're covering Andrew W.K., to listen to some early 2000s rock artists who were having a 2018 revival. That was my theme this week.
Sweet.
So I listened to I Get Wet, WK's debut, and I have to say, it's amazing. This
it's
is
so
an incredibly consistent album.
It's just hit after hit after hit after hit.
Yes, literally every track on that album could be a single. They're all equally good.
What do you
they
love?
They all reflect the time
tell
really
me what
well.
You love.
Ready to tell
Ready
me what
to
I
die.
Love.
Ready to Die is amazing.
Ready to Die was the first Andrew W.K. song I ever heard. I heard it in high school, and I was like, this man is amazing. totally my aesthetic in high school is that song. And when I was in freshman year of college, there was some like music shop place that was having some college campus event where they were selling like old samplers from artists that they would give to record stores. They were selling it to people. So I have some Andrew W.K. sampler compilation that's got like some old versions of singles on it. Which is a weird thing to have. It's in really bad condition. I think has Ready to Die on it.
Can we just play just the beginning of Ready to Die? Just I love like the first 15 seconds.
Are you kidding me? Of course we can.
That's amazing.
Yes. It's amazing.
That was like snare head, do. Right into it, man. Oh, my
Everyone
God.
Everyone is drunk and just playing the shit out of their instruments. It's so good.
It's so good. I love the opener. It's Time to Party.
Yes.
Girl's Own Love. I love that Take It Off starts with someone screaming, take it off. And they're just right into it again.
Like, you want to go to that party, man. Right?
Yes. She is beautiful. The girl is beautiful.
That's right. That is such an amazing lyric.
And we're going to have a fun night. Fun night. Fun night. Fun night. We're going to get off. Going to get off. Going to get off. We'll have a fun night.
There's a moment. There's a moment in that Chris Good article about Andrew W.K.'s like big Q&A session where he just tries to give context to the wider readership of The Atlantic who Andrew W.K. is by just reading some of his lyrics. It's just amazing to read. It's just like, party hard. We're going to party. We are going to party.
Now
party
it's time
hard.
To party and we'll party hard.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay. I want to mention that Pitchfork did an original review of this back in 2002. And a re-review of the re-release from a couple years ago. So the original review, they gave this album a 0.6.
How do you get to 0.6?
And they opened up by saying, this is BS, I've had it, is this what we've been reduced to? Michigan metalheads copying ESPN jock jams, capitalizing on the shameful worst of the 1980s, and bellowing incessantly about the wondrous virtues of the all-nighter. Yes! That's what we come to! 10 years later,
you said the word elevated wrong.
Right. 10 years later, in August of 2012, they did a review of the re-release and gave it an 8.6 at Best New Reissue.
Yeah.
And opens up by saying, let me get this out of the way and welcome everyone who clicked here with the sole hope of witnessing Pitchfork's biggest statistical mea culpa ever. 10 years is a long time for sour grapes to ferment, and I hope they're delicious. Perhaps you've heard that we were not particularly kind to Andrew W.K. the first time around. I obviously disagree with Ryan Schreiber's initial assessment, but even if it weren't poor form to publicly air out your boss for opinions he held a decade prior, I'm in no position to judge. I, too, am trying to live down an equally regrettable review of I Get Wet for a astute newspaper that went in the completely opposite direction, praising it not so much for its musical value as its ability to combine with Adderall and Keystone Ice to form an outgoing college senior's holy trinity of nihilistic intoxication.
That's great.
Even though the critics of Andrew W.K. were often branded as the fun police and his fans considered fools or incurable ironists, I Get Wet is a singular record, and your opinion of it can't possibly make a larger point about anything else. It just is.
Yeah. That's, and there's something really valuable to listening to an album that just is something. I am no longer convinced that Andrew W.K. is an artist who just is anything because he is so committed to just being something, which is unclear. But I Get Wet, to me, it just is. It's beautiful. It's acidic in a way that You're Not Alone isn't. It feels like you're getting caught up in a crazy night. Like, it feels like a van full of people drove up that's, like, way too many people to be legally driving on the road, and they invited you in the van, and at the end
they didn't invite
you,
Mark. They forcibly grabbed you in the van and said, we're going now.
That's even better.
It's time to party.
Better. Oh.
I will throw this album on all the time, no regrets, just if when I need to feel like I'm having a good time.
Yes, it is a party of an album. It's the best kind of party. I that descriptor of it being like Keystone Light is incredible and totally accurate.
Great album.
Yeah. I think about nights that I've had in my life, some of which you have been a part of, that have perfectly fit the tone and tenor of I Get Wet.
Yep.
I think the fact that the album cover is, this could be myth, but I read on the internet that is pig's blood that he just slammed his head into, and then they just took a picture of him.
Sweet.
That's incredible. I think the fact that it's so reflective of that era of rock music, too, is amazing.
Yeah.
If you want to understand what rock music was, like, listen to Is This It by The Strokes and I Get Wet by Andrew W.K., and you will, like, inside and out understand where rock music was at in the early 2000s.
What an album title, too.
Yes.
I Get Wet.
Yes. Well, I love it. Long story short, I love it. I think it's got a little bit of that that flavor of, like, I don't know if you saw that there's a collection of feminist essays about the rock industry called Under My Thumb. That is about the way in which rock music is unfriendly to women, especially during this time. And I think there's, like, a touch of that in here, too. I think that the track Girls Own Love, you know, is perfectly encapsulating of that, like, I am a boy and I'm mad at girls kind of vibe. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but still a fantastic album. I love it start to finish.
No question.
I also listened to The Wolf, second sophomore album. Do you listen to that?
Yeah, not quite as good.
Exactly. I don't even want to say anything else about it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Not quite as good. I listened to Fisher Spooner's Number One.
Okay.
Never listened to Fisher Spooner's, a full Fisher Spooner album before, and I was disappointed. I don't quite get the fervor around Fisher Spooner.
I couldn't even tell you who they were.
Here's who they are. Here's a clip. Pretty aged stuff at this point. Hard to listen to this without realizing how novel synthesizers were to the early 2000s indie crowd.
Yeah.
Kind of recalls a sort of goth techno aesthetic that I'm not a spectacularly huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, it's okay as far as albums in that style go. It's more palatable, but there's a lot of tracks that just sound like garbage, to be frank.
Hmm.
So whatever to that. I will listen to their album from this year, though, and see how that is. Also, the album art is terrible. Next up, Franz Ferdinand's self-titled album. Sweet. Charlie, are you a Franz Ferdinand fan?
No. I know Take Me Out, and that's it.
Okay, well, let's just take a minute and just revisit Take Me Out. What do you say? That's a great song.
Yeah, undoubtedly. It's a quintessential rock tune of that early 2000s.
Yes.
You can't live without it.
Yes, and having read Meet Me in the Bathroom, I bring it up a lot, but that's because it's always relevant. The idea that Franz Ferdinand kind of came out of like the Strokes, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, that whole scene, Interpol, and were more palatable to a wider audience, at least in the form of singles. They sold a lot of records too. I bounce off this album as a whole a little bit because it does feel like a softer edge, a more rounded edged version of the other kind of cooler, more inventive stuff. It's got the kind of ironic detachment of like an LCD or a Rapture, early Rapture record, but without any of the stuff that makes those artists so subversive and fun. That said, Take Me Out. You throw it on, you listen, you hear this, Charlie, and you're just ready to listen to Take Me Out.
Yep.
Right? Great song.
Yep. Great music video as well.
Yeah, totally. Iconic, even.
No doubt.
All right. I listened to Still Trippin' by DJ Tay, who, from what I understand, is originally a rap artist who has found himself transitioning into dance music. And he did something really cool, which was to just combine those two things. And it's a sort of an album with some potholes. There are some tracks where I'm not sure I am fully, I believe his confidence as a dance artist. But man, when he's good, he's good. Here's the track Closer. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And what he does besides that, he's like, well, look, I was a rap guy, I'm being a dance guy now, but what if I was just a rap guy over a dance guy? And that stuff sounds awesome. Here's the track Trippin'.
Cool.
That track is amazing.
Cool production.
Yes, really great production. Had a great time with that album. Last album I listened to this week, Room Inside the World by the post-punk band Ought.
Nice.
I was a huge fan of that first Ought album, Charlie.
Yeah.
Had some of my favorite singles of the decade. I found their sophomore album to be... Let me actually pull up the names of these things here. First album, More Than Any Other Day. Fantastic start to finish. Their follow-up from 2015, Sun Coming Down. A little less impressive. They have this really great single in it, though. Beautiful Blue Sky. Very disaffected post-punk kind of thing. Very much my jam. And they found themselves transitioning with this most recent record into a earnest kind of indie dance kind of thing. A little bit 80s inspired. Kind of like that last MGMT album we talked about a week or
yeah.
two ago.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. It's not blowing my hair back. I'm kind of worrying about the legacy of this band. I'm kind of wondering if they peaked at this point. But still... A few really great moments on Room Inside the World. Here's the track, These Three Things. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Sort of like that meets the guy from Porches.
Yeah, I think Porch is a more fully formed version of the sound. They're not as confident an artist in this space as Porch is, I would say. But that's a good comparison.
Mm-hmm.
That said, the lead singer of Ott has a very specific voice. And for comparison, here's my favorite track from Ott today more than any other day. Take a listen to his vocals on this track, and we're going to compare them with how they sound now. So here's Today More Than Any Other Day, which is a song from 2014.
Okay.
That's 2014 Ott.
Wow.
2018 Ott, 4 years have passed, and there are moments on Room Inside the World where I thought he was making fun of someone.
Because the way his voice sounds?
Yes. Okay, here's a track, Disgrace in America. Tell me this doesn't sound like he's making fun of a guy. It sounds like he's doing that, like, dumb voice, and he's like, duh! Like, okay, here's his vocals. Not a great example. Let me skip ahead. You kind of hear what I mean?
Yeah. They sound like I'm making fun of someone from England.
Look at my day. Sounds ridiculous.
That's weird.
Yeah. Solid album, though. I liked it okay. And that's the week for me.
All right. Sounds good. Mark, I think it's your pick for next week. What are we listening to?
Oh, I'm excited for next week, Charlie. This is a big talk. I can't wait to have this. Just got put on Spotify. It was released a few weeks ago. Next week, we are going to be visiting one of my all-time favorite artists' solo work, David Byrne.
Ooh,
from the Talking
nice.
Heads.
Yeah.
Just released American Utopia.
Sweet.
The idea of the project is actually not dissimilar to Andrew W.K. He had the idea that he wanted to find some through... This is not fully related to the album, but his last, I guess, art project was he wanted to find things that were happening in America that were sheer positivity or something that you could feel grounded in a confusing cultural landscape. And so following that art project up, he has released American Utopia, and I am really excited to dig into it and see what he's got in store.
That sounds fantastic. I can't wait to get into it.
Yes!
Yes! I think the musical release calendar is starting to heat up as well. We're getting some other stuff in the meantime, so should be visiting some other albums. Well, listen to that one. Let's go to the Billboard. It's God's Plan, Mark, and God's Plan is
God's Plan
at number one.
God's Plan.
Who's your favorite rapper today?
Oh, that's
Post Malone.
Question. Yes.
I'm sorry. Did you say Post Malone?
Post Malone.
Good, because Post Malone's sitting at number two with his song "Psycho" featuring Ty Dolla $ign.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm pre-Malone. I can't wait till I'm post-Malone.
I don't understand why everyone's obsessed with this guy these days.
Because his name suggests that you can't wait until Malone is over.
I can't wait till I'm post-Malone.
He has a Jeff Rosenstock song from his last album, made manifest into a human being.
Yes. Well, I guess if you want to hear us talk about that song, then join us next week on the show. In the meantime, you can keep up with us in the social media feed. Send us a like or a review. If you could drop a 5-star review in that iTunes feed, that'd be even better. We sure do love to hear from you. Your words keep us alive, literally. Keep us alive. Keep lying to us. Yes. We'll see you next week for David Byrne and Post Malone. Until next time. Play that outro music.
I don't know the truth.